Well, I'd like to go on record this morning by saying if you choose to remember the things that God says to remember, you will be a well-nourished believer. If you choose to remember the things He told you to forget about, you will be a malnourished believer. I hope that was clear. I have learned this in my own life, and I really believe that there are things to remember and never forget, and there are things to forget and never to remember. And I believe so many times in our lives we get these two things mixed up, and certainly the Lord knows that we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. How often do we need to ask the Lord for his help to do that? And I want to take you back to some things that he would have you remember. Do you remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51, Luke tells us with such precision why Jesus had Jerusalem in his sight. This is how it reads. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing held the Lord Jesus Christ back from going to that cross. And so often, it is easy for us to miss that. The purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus was to die in the place of sinners. I trust that you know Jesus is all about fulfilling the scripture perfectly, precisely. I also trust that you know why our triumphant Lord Jesus is so worthy of worship. He truly is, as we've been saying over these last several months, he is the one that deserves to wear the S. He's the only one. He is so awesome. And yet he humbles himself in such a way that his deity is really kept in obscurity. And I believe that's why you see this lived out in the gospel accounts, how many of the Jews did not take him seriously, but God did. He is accomplishing precisely what the prophetic word of God says about him. And note this, to a T. There is not one ounce of the scripture that Jesus is not fulfilling. Palm Sunday should bring us back to seeing such a passionate love for sinners in placing oneself at his mercy, because only through Jesus can you be saved from sin. There is no other saving apart from Jesus. No good works, no good effort, no promises, no failure. The only thing that saves is Jesus. And that's why we make a big deal about him. He's our awesome Savior. And I wonder, do you know him today? Not just of him, but do you know him personally on this Palm Sunday? And can you say, I have trusted him? I know many of you have, but you just never know who might be hearing me on radio or the website. And you know, sometimes this gets very blurry. A lot of people may think they already have a relationship with God, but they kind of missed the big reason why Christ came. You know, the Bible says many have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And so you have to think about why would Paul say that? Because you can have a form of godliness, but it's lacking life. Jesus is the life source. He's the life source. Remember what Jesus said the night of his arrest to his disciples? John names Peter, and the other Gospels do not name Peter, who was willing to use lethal force to keep Jesus from being taken, to be put to death. The other gospel writers say one of them took out a sword and took a swipe at the head of one of the high priest's servants, and he cut off his ear. Peter took a clear shot. Jesus, the great physician, does perfect restoration of the man's ear in public. He literally puts that man's ear back intact. Would that not be enough to make these men fall down and worship God? Remember, this is Jesus who said to the leadership, of Israel before Abraham was, I am. In their estimation, that was the most blasphemous thing they ever could say, because he is saying, I am God in human flesh. And you need to believe it. You know the commercial, you're in good hands with Allstate, right? You're in the best hands with Jesus Christ. You should be thinking that you're in the very best hands. The Bible says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's why as a church, we continue to hold out Jesus. Now we believe we're doing that in a way that is clear and concise and needs to be as crystal clear as we can get, because the apostle says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Gentile. In other words, every human breathing person on planet Earth has no excuse. And if you were to look at Romans 1, you would see that man is without excuse by mere fact that the creation exhibits order. Now, you can come up with all types of bizarre reasons how this thing evolved, and it's got crazy, you know, billions of years of history and evolution, and this is in your face. This is in your face in this day. It's a way of God denying. That's it. Bottom line. People give it lip service. Certainly there are people in academia who recognize intelligent design, and you watch people who claim intelligent design at university levels. Often they lose their tenure. They get persecuted because they would dare assert that there is an order to the everything. Every part of the human body is incredibly powerful. And I've demonstrated that before to you. Jesus said in the end of Matthew, he says, do you not think when Peter does that move to try to keep Jesus from going to his death, which Jesus knew specifically, he had Jerusalem in his sight. But the scripture says, speaking of Jesus, he says, do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels, thousands? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that this must happen? It's probably one of the saddest moments in the life of the disciples on this evening. Everything is crumbling in front of them. Every knee will bow, the scripture says. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. And guess what? God only ascribes worship to himself. Therefore, know this, Jesus is God. Jesus accepts worship. Multiple times in the scripture, he shows himself to be worshipped. He doesn't stop it. You have other times in the book of Acts where they're ascribing worship to an angel. Revelation, the book of Acts, you can see it. Don't worship me! But Jesus says, Thomas says to Jesus, upon putting his hands into his feet, into his side, into his hands, he says, my Lord and my God. And so, when you think of our Savior, you have to remember that God entered human history in the most precise way that the scripture says would happen. And Jesus fulfills that perfectly. And he is the dividing line of every person. You are either in Christ or not in Christ. It's a bad day not to be in Christ. You don't want that. And God wants you in Christ today. He wants you to continue to celebrate this great gift given for you. Christ Jesus loves you, and he gave his life's blood for each of us in this room. We should never be ashamed of that. I never get tired of talking about this old story. Do you know how many times we see Sunday coming? My family says, Sunday's coming again. Oh my goodness, it's a lot of work. And God once again supplies us just with the energy that we need to be able to tell you how good Jesus Christ is. And that's why I'm so excited about people joining this church, because we need more capable, able helpers. And you guys are doing a great job. Just look at this place. Pray for us as we continue to move forward in this church and what God would want for us. But I am so grateful for what he's done in the clarity. Thank you for Brother Dennis and his ministry to us and being able to put resources in our hands as a church that we would be more intelligent about these things and that each of us would have more of a willingness to go out and share Christ. Just before we read John's Gospel, chapter 12, which is listed on the back of your bulletin, and you can certainly make some notes there. I didn't put any points, but hopefully it's not pointless and powerless. But I want to have you give you a little background. There are 7 miracles that John's Gospel records. Just before this moment where Jesus enters Jerusalem, who does he raise from the dead? Lazarus. Let's watch the video. Lights, please.
The teacher's here. And is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet.
My brother would not have died.
Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance.
Take the stone away.
There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?
They took the stone away. Jesus looked up.
I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice,
Lazarus! Come out!
His hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes. and with a cloth round his face.
Untie him and let him go.
Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
Wow. Depictions that are undeniable. The record of the scripture describes these things. This is taken right out of the Gospel of John. There's a great movie that this was all based on the Gospel of John, made back in 2003. But I thought that was so fitting ahead of what I want to read to you. This is John's Gospel's account of the time when Jesus does enter Jerusalem. He was heading to Jerusalem, and just before that, and over the life of his ministry, 7 major miracles. And I'll be referencing those in just a couple of minutes. But in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 9, should be up on the screen. You may have it also in your own Bible. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things were written about him, and then they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." It's really a remarkable account of spiritual blindness. And I think that's really what we need to take away here, is that if people don't want to see Jesus, they won't. Even when he demonstrates the most amazing power ever seen on planet Earth. We know that Jesus was intimately involved with the creation and forming it. But to actually see people being called out after being in a tomb for 4 days, and Christ holds the power of death and hell, and he can call forth somebody who's already in the grave. So we should never make light of any prophetic promise in the scripture that we have yet to see fulfilled, because as God says he will do it, he will do it. We want to be on board with that. We want to be sure of that and continue to grow in respect to what the things that really belong to us as his people. You don't get it any better than with him. In him is all the wisdom. That's what we've been talking about from the book of Colossians. He's everything. He's wisdom. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Everything is in Christ Jesus. And to continue to grow in that is a life changer. To ignore that is bad. To think about what our life could be, this side of heaven, to grow into this grace, to be strong men and women of his grace, to know that we have been fully rescued, and I am on mission to serve him well by the power of his Spirit that he gave to me the moment that I received him. So we can have all types of excuses of the things that why we're weak, and we are weak. Welcome to the club of the weak. That's just the name of the game. But here Jesus fulfills precisely Zechariah's prophecy hundreds of years before, as the scripture said would happen. And Jesus doesn't come on a big chariot with big wheels and all dressed up in nice purple. He comes just the way he was, on a colt that had never been broken in, and he rides in. And these people who knew, many of them, had heard. I mean, the word spread in Jesus' day. That was the marketing of the day. Come and see what the Lord told me about me. He knew everything about me. He told me everything I ever done, he tells the woman at the well. In other words, he's intimate. He knows. He knows exactly everything about our lives. He knows the regrets. He knows the things that are outside of our control right now. He knows the things that bother us. My goodness, just that moment where he comes in and Mary's told, the Lord's here. Just imagine that moment. That's why I think it's good to watch some of these epic movies. We can thank Astrid. She said, Pastor Dave, would you show the greatest story ever told? It's one of the good ones. 1965 it was made, $20 million investment then. And it is epic. It's epically long, but it's a good movie. But sometimes, and I think this is my hope this morning for all of us, is that we would come back to the place of remembering. There is nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't already show us and demonstrate that's a clear sign that he's got us. He's got this. We've talked about that one. He's got this. And we forget that. How out of control we really are. I mean, we can manage our own lives to some extent, but really, we can't stop things. God does allow things that will deeply break our hearts at times. He knows that. He allows heartbreak because you know what it does for us? It shows that he's the one. That's it. And that day is coming where all things are going to be restored by our Savior. All things. We have yet to see a third of the Bible. It's Bible prophecy. Many have already been fulfilled, but there is many things that still yet, especially the millennial kingdom, when Christ Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning from the New Jerusalem, this heavenly city that we're going to dwell with him. We're going to worship with him for all eternity. You know, it's good to love. It's good to give. It's good to know healthy love, not some dysfunctional system that is just entangled in webs and messes. But to really know the true, genuine love that God has for us. And it as we develop a greater understanding of that, it changes the way we think about life. It puts the spotlight on this dysfunction. How many people, I mean, I can't tell you how many news stories that I've watched in my lifetime. And I say, stupid again. I say that kind of lovingly, but a little bit. I mean, some people just, the stuff that they do to take selfies in these crazy spots. Scripture says, don't put your Lord, your God to a test, okay? Gravity still works. But insanity. And Satan, if you ever see in a passage, they want to kill Lazarus. He's been raised from the dead. Do you see what's going on here? This is called spiritual warfare in full, in 1080, okay? This is HD spiritual warfare that these religious leaders, these self-righteous Jewish religious leadership, can't handle the fact that the one who is the Messiah raises the dead. What else are they expecting? And so as they're waving their palms, you know what they're saying? The ones who are acknowledging him just believe that he's going to bring political relief, some form of political relief from Roman oppression. They were under Roman oppression. The Jewish people understood Roman oppression. But those Roman authorities were used to put Jesus on that cross. And so, you know, you think about this account here where So much is of the fulfillment. To a perfect T, Jesus fulfills Zechariah's prophecy that already claims that the Messiah would come riding on a colt. He comes through the sheep gate. He comes through our place of travel. He doesn't come through the biggest gates. He comes through the ones that are very obscure, very usual. And they acknowledge, some acknowledge. But see, the key is not just acknowledging, not just waving these palm branches. You and I should be waving the palm branches over and over in our heart and say, Lord, I know you. You are worthy. You have saved me. You have rescued me. There is a little design that you can take the palm and make it into a cross. Some of you have seen that. I encourage you to do that with your kids. Do it this Easter. Take a couple extra today. You know, and you just think of the goodness of our Lord, the goodness of the way that he deals with this situation. His disciples in verse 16 said they did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, you realize so often in our own lives, we can be hearing all this stuff about Jesus, blowing through life, and all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit illuminates it. You say to the Lord, I believe what you've done for me. I remember that day, 1986, like it was yesterday. I tell the story often. Trees, sky, air never looked so good in my entire life. And I had breathed a lot of it up until that time. And I just remember, Jesus, I want you. I believe you. I understand this. I start reading the Bible. I'm like, oh my goodness. I've never seen this before. I remember reading in the Living Bible, Isaiah 53. 700 years before Jesus even comes, this prophecy is made about the one who would come. Right? He would not be esteemed. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, how can anybody deny that this is Jesus? Guess what it takes to see that? The Holy Spirit's help. Holy Spirit opened that up to me. I can't take credit for that. We can't take credit for anything that God's doing in our life. It's for him. And that's why we give him the glory. We give him the praise. We can say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, man. Do you realize that Jesus wants intimate fellowship with us? You have a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And if you are outside of Jesus today, you say, you know what? I'm just kind of like trying to figure this whole thing out. This is your day of salvation. This is your day. I'm going into Easter 2019 knowing that all my sins are forgiven. And I'm not messing with it anymore because my Savior raises the dead. This is a little sneak preview of what's coming. Paul said, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Could happen today. Are you ready? Good. It's awesome. You know, I was just thinking about, and this, I found a website with a pastor who clearly loves Jesus, and he points a few things out. He's actually with the Lord now. He points out what these seven miracles are. The first one is recorded in John chapter 2, where Christ turns water into wine because they have a crisis. The old wine has run out, and Jesus makes this perfect new wine. And then Jesus in John chapter 4 heals the official's son. Just say the word and he'll be healed. Remember that? Then the healing of the pool of Bethesda, where the angels, there was known that they would come and stir the waters, and Jesus heals a man there. Then he feeds 5,000 with a couple of loaves and fishes. Hello! He's got power! He's got power. He comes to the disciples in a crisis moment on the water. The boat's taken on water. And here comes Jesus just walking. Don't be afraid. He hops in the boat. And he heals a man born blind. And the big fight is, who's responsible for this guy's, sin? And, and just they're just missing it. They're just missing it. They're just caught up in the minutiae details that the Messiah is in our midst. And we are convicted to death over it. And we're not seeing him as he needs to be seen. See, Jesus does convict. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's why people don't run down. That's why we can't fill this place. Because people know that they might come in here and get convicted of their sin and say, like, you know what? I need to put my sin all on Jesus. And by the grace of God, I'm going to live a life differently. Not perfectly, but I'm going to be under His grace. Because there's no better place to be, right? No better place to be than under His grace. And then He raises Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. Just think about this. Miracle 1 shows He came to take us from the stone cold and empty way of man's religion into a living and joyful relationship with Him. Do you have that joy this morning with Him? Do you know He loves you? You know He's never going to leave you nor forsake you? Do you have that assurance? Remember, He rose again. 3 days. And we're going to declare it in a very big way next Sunday. The miracle number 2, where He heals the official's son, shows that we are saved by grace through faith. Lord, just say the word. Jesus, You say You want to save me? I believe You. And I trust that You've done that for me. Miracle 3 shows our futile works are insufficient to save ourselves. We need Christ Jesus to save us. And that was the healing at the pool of Bethsaida. Miracle 4, in all of these, did I bring one up here? I thought I packed one. You should pack a Gospel of John. All of these are recorded in John's Gospel. Wonderful gift. Even if you take that postcard in your bulletin and you invite someone to church and they say, no, okay, well, would you read one of these? Would you read about how much Christ loves you? Would you just see what He's already done for you? That's awesome. And so, take these Gospels of John. We get tons of them around here. They're going to be all over the place this next week. So if you know somebody that could benefit from reading, don't hesitate. I've given these. Sometimes I go through grooves where I give out more times than others. And sometimes I just want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading and say, you know what? This is a moment. I'm going for it. And most people just say, thank you. Miracle number 4, the feeding of the 5,000, is a demonstration of His supernatural care and provision for those who seek Him. Miracle number 5, walking on the water, shows that because of His miraculous power, we can easily accomplish things through Him that would be all impossible on our own. Miracle number 6 reveals that if we allow it, and that was when He heals the blind man born blind. They're bringing him up before everybody. You know, just... His parents were saying, yes, he was born blind. We had just listened to him. He's telling you the truth. Jesus Christ gave him his sight back. Reveals that if we allow it, He can cause even the lowest person born spiritually blind to see and believe. And miracle 7 is when He raises Lazarus, is a promise that all who believe in Him will live even though they die. And those who live and believe will never die. Do you realize I possess eternal life right now? If somehow this body just started, fell down and died, I'm in heaven instantly. That's the assurance that I have. Because I go with the fact that that's what Christ Jesus accomplished for me. On this Palm Sunday 2019, do you know Hosanna in the highest? Has He become yours? Is He the one that you want to let more people know that you got the answer? You've got the real, true answer of where life is. It's in Him. It's in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we should say with the apostle, as I said earlier in the service, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Greek. The scripture says there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. Let's talk to Him. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, Father. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for the illumination factor of Your word. Thank You for how You work these things in our lives, that You want us to get it. You want our hearts opened. You want our minds alert, attentive. We struggle, Lord, still a battle in many ways. Oh, Lord, but You just keep encouraging us as we see the day approaching. Jesus, the word says that You are the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He despised the shame. But after that, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. What a Savior, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each of us this coming week that we would once again remind ourselves, remember well the things that we are to remember, and forget the things that are gone and done, that we are new creations in Jesus Christ. If this is you this morning and you've never placed faith in Christ, I pray that you would today. Anybody here this morning that says, I am ready. Anybody. I'll pray with you right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Father, I pray for the growth that's possible this side of heaven, that as we anticipate seeing Jesus face to face, we want to be mature, strong, full of love for you, not forgetting the things that you told us to remember. So I pray as we enter into Holy Week this week, we would have a clear sense that, wow, my Jesus loved me. And I'm telling everybody I can about that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this body of believers, for those who joined the church today. Thank you for your faithfulness to them, and pray you'll continue to lead us in the days to come as a local church. For your glory, for your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.